Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, and buckle your seatbelts. It's time for your weekly ride-along with the Bikes on Mics. This is Drive-By.
Welcome. I am Mike J. He is Mike Guest. We are the Mikes on Mikes. This is the Drive-By Wrestling Podcast. And we're still in the season of the motherfucking coronavirus.
Yeah, that we are. The season of the witch. It truly is.
It's been interesting. It's been scary at times. It's annoying as shit at this point, and I don't know what to listen to. I don't know what to believe. I just want life to get back to normal.
Yeah, same exact thing. I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't even give a fuck what I'm supposed to believe anymore. I just want my normal life back.
Yeah, and it's hard to even put it into words, because everything that we know, I think you can agree with this, Mike, has just changed. It's just different. And I'm going to kill this transition right now, Mike. The thing that has changed the most in my life, and I think probably in your life, at least when it comes to entertainment, Mike, is damn wrestling, right?
Yeah, because, well, I mean, other than, like, you know, the NBA playoffs and March Madness, the biggest...
Yeah, but the difference is, those are just gone.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Those are gone. So, like, the thing that has changed the most for me, yes, is wrestling, because it's the only sport. If you could see me, you could see that I did air quotes. It's the only sport that, that's still out there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, I've come to this kind of conclusion, Mike, at least my own personal opinion, you know, and I'm sure you would agree with this statement. I'm a huge wrestling mark. I am a supporter of WWE through and through. They're not perfect. I will, you know, pick things apart at times. I will probably give them more credit than they're due sometimes. It's just how I am. I still try to be fair, but I'm going to be really, really, really honest. Raw and SmackDown to me right now, even though I'm catching them, they're not as much C as they used to be to me right now. It's just not that important to me.
Yeah, no, I don't that know. Makes sense.
I don't know if it's the way they're shooting it, which I think they've improved tremendously since the start of this crap, but I just don't feel like there's any urgency to any of the story, and as we've discussed, that's one problem AEW has. They don't tell stories. For me, stories are what's important. I like a great match, but the story means more to me.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I know there's a lot of people like that. Our buddy Joe is that way.
Right.
He openly admits to liking the Lana Bobby Lashley storyline. he doesn't care. He likes storylines. He likes soap operas. It's what it is.
Right. And I think it's very fair to say that WWE is still trying to tell those stories. It's just, here's the thing, man. You know, the ratings are down on Raw this week. Look, dude, you know, Brian Alvarez is wetting his pants over this because he's so happy about it. For one, that's not something to be happy about, no matter who you're rooting for. For two, dude, they were still a top three show on cable. This is affecting everything. People are watching news. People are watching documentaries about this shit. Like, the world is different right now. So, you cannot watch Raw the night it happens. You cannot watch SmackDown. Hell, you cannot watch NXT or AEW the night it happens. And you have this DVR. A lot of people probably have more free time on their damn hands right now. And they're doing other things and catching up on things later. Or they're just tuning out altogether. Where it's dangerous is the people that tune out and then don't come back. And that's for all brands across the board, all companies across the board.
Yeah, I 100% agree. That's when things start getting scary, is when people don't come back to the product. Now, is, like, I'm pretty open about, like, I don't really watch Raw or SmackDown anymore. I turned Raw on this week, man, and it just wasn't... Look, like, I'm not going to say, like, I find Raw captivating every week, right? I don't. I openly complain about it on this show. But generally, in a three-hour Raw, there's one or two nuggets that, like, catch my attention. The last few weeks that I've checked in with Raw, there hasn't really been anything that caught my attention. And I'll be honest, like, the Raws that I've watched have been pretty varied, since WrestleMania. But it's like, and these are guys I like, so I don't want to take it like I'm bashing these guys, right? But Andrade, Angel Garza, is that the one or is it the other one? It's not Angel. Andrade, Angel Garza, and Austin Theory, right?
Yep.
So, I personally like these guys. I think they're like a nice little heel group. Selena Vega adds to the mix like a nice thing, right? But, why do I fucking care who these guys are? Like, there's no... And it's like... That's the majority of the show, is these three dudes now. And it's cool, because I like these dudes, and they're good, but, like, it's not cool, because, like, who the fuck are these three guys?
Here's the thing, and this is a conclusion that I've came to. This is kind of the driving point I wanted to have with this conversation, Mike. And I want your opinion, because I think this is the most important thing. Pro wrestling, and especially when it comes to the story, like, you can get a great reaction from a crowd from a match or a big move, but the stories, especially in the WWE side of things, when they are told well, they are told to get a reaction from the crowd. Correct?
Correct.
When there's no crowd to build to a reaction, then it's not really that captivating.
Not at all.
That's nobody's fault. That's not Vince's fault. That's not Pritchard's fault, Heyman's fault, the roster. It's not Tony Khan's fault. It's not Triple H's fault. It's just the fucking way it is. There's no audience.
No. Just is what it is.
So you have to do your best, which I really think they are. I think everyone on that roster is trying. I think the writing team's trying. The producers are trying, and there's spots that are great. Some of the promo work has been some of the best promo work that I've seen in recent television on both, across both shows, both companies and all shows, right?
Yeah.
But again, that's only going to captivate you so much. If it's a guy or girl you really like, it might really pull you in. If it's someone you're not so into, it might not matter. So I'm not going to sit here and ring the death bell for WWE or Monday Night Raw or SmackDown in general. Like, I just can't, because this is not the time to do that. This is a different environment.
No, this is...
We'll see how these shows recover when things go back to normal. If they don't have a strong recovery, we might have to have a different conversation. But when you're telling a story to nobody that can give you the live reaction that that story needs... It's not really your fault.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. It's not their fault. Look, I'm not giving it their fault. There's a limited roster. I love me complaining about these three dudes being majority of the show. It's a limited roster. I also have a complaint because it seems like they make me like these guys, and then at the end of the episode, they always get shit on somehow. Like, I'm just like, quit making, like, okay, the first week they put these guys together as a team, right? They're like, all right, we're a badass heel stable. And then they get shithoused by Drew McIntyre. But no, there's no crowd. There's a limited roster. There's limited backstage workers. There's limited bookers. Like, everything, we're living, like, this is a microcosm right now, man. I mean, it's like, we're all in this fucking bubble. And it's like, you can't judge the company as a whole on the current product, even though I don't think the current product is super fun. But it's not really their fault right now.
Not at all, man. So, I guess I'll finish with this. We can get into this. Money in the Bank is this weekend. They are doing some things differently. We can go over the card real quick. I do think that this will pull viewers in because of the ideas behind the show. Both Money in the Bank matches are taking place at headquarters, and we'll get into that first. But let's maybe quickly go over the other matches.
I have a question. Are they
make some predictions
doing the Money in the Bank matches simultaneously?
Yeah, let's wait for that. That's okay. What we're gonna do that last.
All right.
Okay. So it's besides the. Oh, I'm sorry. Including the Money in the Bank matches, we have 6 matches listed. So. For the ones that are going to take place, I'm assuming at the PC, we have, first off, a 4-way tag team title match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. We've got the champions, The New Day, Kofi and Big E, versus Miz and John Morrison, Lucha House Party, and Gran Metalik and Lince Dorado, and the Forgotten Sons, the new call-ups from NXT, which will consist of Steve Cutler, Wesley Blake, and I'm sure Jackson Ryker will get involved in some way, shape, or form.
The Forgotten Sons got called up?
Dude, and they're getting a push, and they look like monsters.
Oh, man, I feel so bad for these guys.
Do you ever see, like,
they were just starting to hit, like, a really good stride. Are they on SmackDown?
Yes.
Maybe I should watch SmackDown and see what's going on with them.
It's weird because they really struck me as the Elias type. Like, Elias didn't really click in NXT, but you just had the feeling, man, this guy's gonna get over on the main roster. And I feel like these are the same kind of guys. This gimmick's the same kind of gimmick, and so far so good, man.
Mark my words. This no shit. I'm looking for an ink pen so I can write this down. Mark my words that on today, May 8th of the year of, I was going to say the year of our Lord, but this clearly isn't the year of our Lord. The year of Satan, the number of the beast. This gimmick of the Forgotten Sons will be dead in the water in 3 to 6 months.
All right, we're going to try really hard to remember that.
3 to 6 months, dead in the water.
So who you like in this match?
Hey, and I don't care. If they're tag team champs in 3 to 6 months, that doesn't mean that it's not dead in the water. Because everybody gets a run with those fucking belts. It's the worst tag division on Earth right now. Anyway, next match.
Who you got? Who you like?
Oh, this is tricky. I don't think it's going to be Miz and Morrison. Man, you know the Forgotten Sons might win this.
I'm actually tossing it up for me between the Forgotten Sons and Lucha House Party, believe it or not. They may get a decent push, too.
That's funny. I like Lucha. I didn't even consider Lucha House Party as a possibility.
I think it would be interesting for them to win just so the Forgotten Sons could, like, shithouse them down the road. But I think I'm going to... Man, I think it's going back to Miz and Morrison. Because I think there's going to be a story there for them to split and tell a really good babyface story of Morrison here. And I think it's going to involve the titles. But that being said, they don't really need the titles to win to cause that story. So I could be full of shit.
Yeah. I'm also a guy that hasn't watched SmackDown in months and is just out here just making picks.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. WWE Championship. Drew McIntyre versus the Monday Night Messiah, Seth Rollins.
Oh, I just don't... Seth Rollins isn't winning this.
No, this Drew's, is not. Drew's going to keep this title for a while.
It's just not. No. Seth Rollins... look, I get everyone being like, why is Seth Rollins getting another title shot? It's not a real sport. He's there to be the first major win for Drew to pick up and solidify him as champion. Jesus, fuck, you dumb sons of bitches. Seth lost at WrestleMania, and now he's getting a title shot? It makes more sense for KO. Face KO to go after face Drew McIntyre. Like, shut the fuck up, guys. Seth isn't winning this title. Oh, my God. They wanted Seth Rollins to have this title. Please believe Seth Rollins would have won it at WrestleMania. Because he's Seth fucking Rollins. And that's what they do with Seth Rollins. Jesus. Seth Rollins don't win titles at Money in the Bank pay-per-views, y'all. No, fuck out of here. Chill out. Oh.
Yeah, if he's going to win it, he'll win it at SummerSlam.
Furor over on the internet about him already getting a title shot. And it's like, guys, this isn't UFC. It's not like he got knocked out in the second round of like the last pay-per-view and is the number one contender. And you're like, shut the fuck up. They're telling a story. God.
This might come into play in our later conversation. McIntyre for me all the way. I feel bad even asking this one. SmackDown Women's Championship. Bayley versus Tamina.
Yeah, Bayley.
Yeah. This will clearly have some implications with Sasha. I don't see how it wouldn't. So we'll go from there. We'll see what happens, but it's going to be Bayley winning. Universal Championship match. Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt. Keep that in mind.
Bray Wyatt's losing.
Yes.
Although, not gonna lie, I still think, regardless of what I just said about Seth Rollins, that is still dumb that he's in a title match.
I don't know who else it could be, to be fair. Especially you have this built-in dual personality where now we can actually let Bray lose and not hurt the Fiend. And we can also drag this out. I'm curious to see. I don't want to see this be a normal 1-2-3, he pinned Bray Wyatt. I want something fun and funhouse-esque to happen, since this is a pre-taped empty arena. You know what I mean? Like, like maybe he even pins Bray, whatever, and then the lights go out and the Fiend attacks him. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Bray's gone. That would be badass. Let's do something like that. And maybe he even drags Braun off. I don't know. Something. We can do something fun with this. I'm actually looking forward to how they handle
this. Or how about, just hear me out on this, man, right? How about Braun beats Bray Wyatt, and then he never interacts with the Fiend. He just goes on with his life. Bray just moves on. No, seriously. Like, Bray's just like, all right, man, well, I just wanted to take a shot at you. Because this is what they do with Bray. This is what they do with Bray. They just have him come out later and be like, well, I just wanted to do this. I lost the Goldberg on purpose, because fuck John Cena. So what if they just, like, have Bray come out and they're like, hey, you know, man, just wanted to take the shot at you.
Let me flip that around. You're right. But what if... I don't feel like SmackDown has a ton of top-tier heels. I think you would agree with that.
Yeah.
No, they got a lot more, in my opinion, they have stronger baby faces. So, especially once Roman's back, you got Daniel Bryan. What if we did this to maybe do, I know you don't, I hate to flip
the hurt the heel,
but
hurt heel.
Just hear me out. What if, yes, what if we heal Braun Strowman and bring him back to Bray and to the Fiend?
We don't need to bring him back to Bray or the Fiend. We just need
You don't.
You just need to
but
make
wouldn't
him.
Wouldn't it be cool you just to have to, the Fiend you just need have to make the him, Universal title in his house and not have to take the L for him to lose it?
No. Braun Strowman doesn't need to be a lackey or any of that. Like, what you had me with the heels him, right? But he heals him and turns him into the Braun Strowman that we had originally. That was out here flipping over trucks and talking about, like, you remember that time he was going to rape Lince Dorado? I don't care what anyone says, he was going to rape that dude. When you're dragging a motherfucker out to your car by his ankle, and you're like, I'm taking this with me? Like, yo, that means you're taking that dude home to fuck him. Like, I'm talking about, was it Kalisto? Whatever. I don't get, doesn't matter. They're all the same, right? And it's like, I'm not even saying that because, like, I don't like Lucha shit. I'm just saying, in WWE, if you're not Rey Mysterio, then you're all the same. It doesn't fucking matter,
so,
right? But I'm saying what if he hurts
like
him? I like the hurt. You had me until you had me with the hurt. But let's just bring back that original, the monster among men. You're going to get these hands. You remember when you're going to get these hands? Wasn't like a fucking like face catchphrase. It was a heel. Like, you remember when you bought that shirt, Mike, because it was a dude that was a heel that was talking about, I'm going to kill you with my bare hands.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's bring that dude back. And I'm super okay with that.
I'll concede the second half of my idea and run with that. Let's get into this. So
here's my thing, man. With the Bray Wyatt, like, the family, that shit's done, right? That's gone. We don't ever want that to come back. We don't ever want him to have, I just don't think at this point, and I'm not saying I don't ever want Bray Wyatt to lead a faction again, right? But I don't want Bray Wyatt to lead a faction again while he's the heel. Or even have a follower as the Fiend, I mean. Or even have a follower as the Fiend. To me, the Fiend works as a singular entity.
No, I totally understand where you're coming from with that. So we're both picking Braun there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do this. The Money in the Bank ladder matches from what was announced last week on SmackDown, the men's and the women's are taking place simultaneously. The idea is there is a ring on the roof of WWE corporate headquarters in Stamford, Connecticut. There is a contraption above the ring where both briefcases will at the same time be hung, right?
Yes.
And we're starting on the first floor, and you have to get to the ladder on the roof in the ring to get the briefcase and win, and I love every flipping part of this.
This is insane. Like, I'm not even watching WWE shit, and I'm so excited for this. Like, I told you last week, I thought Money in the Bank was last week. And I woke up Monday morning all super excited to watch it. I was like, Caleb, I remember I went to bed Sunday night like, man, I'm just going to hurry up and fall asleep because when I wake up, I get to watch this crazy Money in the Bank. And then I woke up and it turns out that Money in the Bank was in fact not like last weekend. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this because this shit is insanity. This is insanity.
Is this not the most wrestle crap you've ever heard?
Oh, the most wrestle crap wrestling ever. Like, I don't even know what the fuck they can possibly... Like, how is this? We're going to have... Like, so it's... What is it? 5 people for each one? 6 people for each one?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
So we're going to have 12 individuals running around this building... Just fucking bouncing off each other.
I love it. And here's the thing. They're both taking place at the same time.
That's crazy to me.
It's been reported that this match is going to last the entire pay-per-view. So they're going to cut from the action of the match, I guess, to go to matches, or assuming at the PC, the ones we just went over, and then come back to the Money in the Bank. And I've heard people like, that's stupid. I actually think this is a great idea, because, as we just discussed at the top of the show, the empty arena stuff can get kind of draining, but if you split it up with this Hollywood-esque, twisted elevator, floor climbing, this has potential to be super epic and make the entire pay-per-view mean something.
Yeah, there's so much potential here. And I'm assuming it's going to be shot cinematic style.
I would assume so too.
This shit's gonna be fucking next level nuts, man.
And think about it, dude. They've been working on... This was filmed, I think 3 or 4 weeks ago now.
I want to see
They've had a lot of time to edit
this
shit.
So, are the men and women going to be interacting?
I don't know, but I'm sure curious.
Oh, wow.
I mean, the briefcase is hanging over the same ring at the same time. So... You have to imagine in some way, shape, or form they will, right?
Yeah. So they're ideal. Oh my god. I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around this one, man.
I know, it's going to be awesome. I've already made up in my mind, even if it's bad, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah? Yeah, even if it's bad, it's going to be pretty fucking good.
So here we go. These are the women competing. We have Asuka, Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax, all representing Raw, Dana Brooke, Lacey Evans, and Carmella representing SmackDown. Who you like on the women's side, Mike?
I want to say real fast, you said Asuka. It reminded me. What I watched of Raw this week included the Shayna Baszler, Asuka, Nia Jax.
Interaction?
Yeah, the little interview segment. And, I can't fucking stand Nia Jax. She's really good at her job. I'm not saying she's really good at her job because she's garbage in the ring. But as far as, making me fucking hate her,
yes, I agree.
She's pretty fucking good at it. But I just loved how Asuka, in her part... I love that Asuka's still doing, the I only speak a Japanese thing. And
it's fantastic.
I love how she started fucking going in on Nia, but all you could understand was her saying Kairi.
Yes.
So she's just going to fuck off about her. And it was awesome to me because it was it's exactly what you would do if someone hurt your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just going to fuck off. It's just every so often you hear, Kairi! And then just go the fuck off. Kairi! Kairi! And go the fuck off. And it was I love this. And Shayna Baszler's just hoy ambivalent attitude.
They're doing good work. They're doing good work on that side of the story.
She's still everything to me. Well, I hope she responds to my letters soon. For this though, you gotta figure Shayna Baszler's the favorite, right?
I would think Shayna and Asuka are the favorites in the mind that makes the most sense.
Yes. Don't get me wrong. Nia as a top heel in the women's division, there's a chance that she could win it, because there's always a chance. When you're a top heel, there's always a chance that you're going to win it. So, this is actually a really interesting one where they've got the women's side, for the first time, maybe ever, that they've had a Money in the Bank, they've got a lot of solid choices for legit winners for this.
They do, because if you look at the three on Raw, they all make sense. If you look at SmackDown,
look, the three on Raw,
one that I can,
the three on Raw could win the women's title on either show and no one would question it. And people would
right, and
be happy about it for two of them.
And the three on SmackDown, like, the only one that I automatically disqualify, and it's no offense to her, it's Carmella, and it's just because she's won it before.
She's won it before, and I'm sorry, but since she won it and was her little brief dalliance as champion, it's just gotten, like, the division's just gotten better. Sorry, Carmella and Naomi.
But you throw in, like, you throw in Lacey, you know they want to do stuff with her, so that's a possibility, and she's improved every week, and Dana Brooke has also improved, and to be honest, would be like the marquee answer for this win, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying she's like Dolph Ziggler level, like, underrated popularity, because she's not, but at the same time, she's still one of those people who has that group of fans. It's just like, she never gets a shot, man. It's not fair. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if she won this briefcase, that would be huge. I don't think she's going to.
No.
I'm just saying.
Nope. I don't think she is at all.
Man, I really think, I want it to be Asuka, if I'm being 100% honest, as much as I love Shayna. I want it to be Asuka. I think it's going to be Nia.
I think Asuka needs it more than Shayna. I agree with you on that.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't really know, man. I think it's probably comes down to Nia or Shayna.
It's going to be interesting. On the other side, the men's, we have Daniel Bryan, Rey Mysterio, Aleister Black, King Corbin, Otis, and AJ Styles.
So we can immediately take Otis and King Corbin right off the and probably Aleister Black right off the playing board. And Rey Mysterio.
With Aleister Black, I feel the same way I do with Shayna. I don't think he needs it, man.
No, I don't think he needs it at all. I don't think he needs it at all. Don't get me wrong, I'm not, like, taking him off there just because, like, I think less of him than I do the other people. It just doesn't make sense to me to have Aleister Black win this.
Yeah, same here.
As a character, it doesn't make sense for Aleister Black to win this.
And Ray's towards the end of his contract. I don't feel like they would go that route anyway, even if he re-signs. It doesn't make sense to me in this time in his career. He's not been super healthy this last year and a half. I don't know that you do that right now. Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles are interesting.
Those are the only two it comes down to.
I think it's Otis is a wild card.
No. No, he's not. Shut the fuck up. No, he's not. I think Otis is a wild card. What? No, he's not.
I think Otis is a wild card, man.
No, he's not. He's not. He's in there because everybody loves him, and they're like, hey, let's put Otis in this thing because everyone loves him. And they were like, all right, well, that's fine. Cool. But he has no shot. We all know that. Come on. Like, don't play games with yourself. Look, man, like, if Otis wins the Money in the Bank, I'll suck my own dick on air.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. I can suck my own dick. Uh-huh. Yeah. There it is. I don't. Do you want to know why? Ask me why, Mike.
Why, Matt? Mike?
Because anyone that can suck their own dick will tell you. I know everybody jokes, they're like, fuck, if I could suck my own dick, I'd fuck suck my own dick all the time. No, you wouldn't, man. It doesn't feel like getting head, it feels like giving head.
I will take your word for it and say who you got.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it feels like getting head, but like at a certain point, it feels more like you're giving head than you're getting head. Is AJ Styles still a heel?
Yes.
Yeah, we're going with AJ Styles.
I think I'm going with AJ Styles too. And I actually think it could flip him to SmackDown. I'm not saying it will. I just could see it.
It depends on what happens with Braun. Although it doesn't have to happen right away, I guess.
Nope. We got a year, baby. We got a year. And I don't expect any Money in the Bank cash-in to happen in a crowdless environment, at least as long as
you're gonna wait for that pop.
Yep.
You got a year.
Absolutely. Got a year. Absolutely.
No need to rush it like the last 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we had a pretty good Wednesday night, did we not?
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
We're gonna get into it.
Yeah, we did.
Yes, we did. Hang tight. We be right back.
Each and every week, while Mike's on Mike's scour the globe, looking in arenas, locker rooms, VFW halls, looking at our rocks and under Peyton Royce to answer the burning question, what is Sean Spears doing?
Mike, I know Sean Spears didn't wrestle this week, but I also know he was part of a important crowd and interview with MJF. And man, look, I just gotta be honest. He's my favorite wrestler right now.
Dude, he's fucking awesome. He had like a great promo video where it was basically him talking shit to Cody for letting his brother get shithoused last week. Like, was straight, like, you let that happen to your brother. It was a great video. And then, right after that, it was followed by Tony Schiavone interviewing Spears and MJF. Fuck, man, keep putting these two guys together. Shit, this was great. These two guys are money together. Fucking money. I'm not gonna get into it anymore. You know I don't like to try and explain interviews and promos and shit. Just go watch it. It was enjoyable. These two guys are fucking money together.
Yes, and I don't know, man. I think this might become the Praise Sean Spears Every Week segment.
Right? He's like the greatest wrestler in the world right now, man. And I don't know how the fuck we got here. I don't know how we got here, man. Because like 2 months ago, we weren't here. We were very opposite of where we are now. But here we are, 2 months later, and Sean Spears is the greatest ever.
Hey, hey, go Sean Spears. Wednesday Night War, wow, words are hard today, Mike, has come and gone once again. NXT got edged out by AEW on the viewers, but look, man, right now, it's just, I don't even know if it's worth talking, ratings. It's just such a odd time. AEW got 732, NXT got 663. NXT stays fairly where they have been. AEW dropped from last week. I just don't care right now.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about ratings at all.
Like, we'll see what happens when things get back to normal, if they ever do. But, you know, I will say, I feel like NXT and AEW are doing the best with the crowdless atmosphere. I think AEW... watch out, Mike. I'm going to give them a bone here. I think they're doing the best with the crowdless atmosphere.
I think they're doing
that. That being said, I still prefer, clearly, NXT, because I think it's the best wrestling on the planet. It's the most intriguing storytelling combo athletic in-ring performance.
I'd agree with that, yeah. It's the best combination of those things.
Yeah, Yeah, 100%. So NXT, let's jump into it. Mauro and Beth are back on commentary. We get an intro from Tom Phillips, and we are leading off with Johnny Gargano versus Dominik Dijakovic. And Johnny is now going by All Heart, No Soul. So both Garganos get a new moniker, a new tagline, Poison Pixie and All Heart, No Soul. I really am digging this heel, I'm going to say tandem, whatever you want to call it. But the match started out, Dijak's really kind of giving it to Gargano, beating the snot out of him, as he should. Eventually, Candice LeRae comes out. She does a really good job doing the heel, female heel, like manager role. Getting involved, distracting the ref. Distracting Dijakovic, but more so the ref at the beginning. Which, of course, leads to Johnny getting the upper hand. And Johnny's working the entire time to get this top turnbuckle pad off while she's distracting, doing this multiple times. Eventually, he's on that turnbuckle, and Dijakovic, you know, is coming towards him and lands like a... The pad comes off and he lands like a hurricanrana onto Dijak into the corner, if that makes sense. So it's kind of one fluid motion where he pulls the pad off and then pulls the hurricanrana off the top rope and throws Dijak into it. And then he hits his little over the top rope slingshot, DDT, whatever you want to call it, and gets the pin. So the heel gets a heelish win, and it was a pretty decent match.
How long did they go for?
I got notes, but I'm not that detailed.
No, I just got like, I'll just say like an estimate. Two commercials.
I don't know.
A commercial break. Minutes.
There was I think one break, so I'm gonna say 10 to 15.
Okay.
All right. Next, we get an Imperium promo from Eichner and Bartel, and they're basically just talking shit on the champions, Matt Riddle and fill-in Timothy Thatcher. So we're setting up for that, which I believe is coming next week. Then we move into the Cruiserweight Tournament, Jack Gallagher versus Akira Tozawa. I've decided, if you're familiar with the show, you watch MTV Challenge, Mike?
I'm familiar with the show. I don't watch it.
Do you know who Wes is from MTV Challenge?
Yeah.
I'm decided that Jack Gallagher looks like Wes from the Challenge if you put him in the dryer soaking wet and shrank him.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. Yeah. It just hit me watching it Wednesday night. I was like, oh, he kind of looks like a small version of Wes.
Oh, ask me if I watch the Challenge again. I got a better answer.
Oh, geez. I'm not going to like this answer because I do watch The Challenge. Mike, do you watch The Challenge?
Yes, I have dated women before. I'm familiar with The Challenge.
I do like that. Never mind. It was a decent match. I expected a little bit more, to be honest, but it was a short match to the point. And Tozawa got the win, moved to 2-0, and Jack is 0-2. That's a little surprising, but, you know, it's going to happen, I guess. So, afterwards, we get a promo from Tozawa, and he basically says his next opponent is Phantasma. He's never wrestled him. He doesn't know much about him, but he knows he'll beat him. So, solid promo from Tozawa. Next we get, and I don't know if you've noticed this, Mike. I've seen a few on Twitter. I saw Triple H actually do his whole thing, but they're doing this campaign. I believe it's called #RealHeroes. And they're asking pro athletes to put the name of a nurse or doctor or someone in the front lines of this virus on their jersey. So the one I saw, Triple H actually put a nurse's name on, they put it on tape, they write it on there and they tape it on their jersey. He put it on the back of one of his leather jackets, which was pretty freaking cool. And they kind of give a shout out to that person. Well, they did an ad for this, and my main takeaway is it's pretty cool as a wrestling fan, to see this ad campaign, like, logo come up at the end and see WWE's logo with NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, Major League Soccer, NASCAR, all of this professional, as you said earlier, quote-unquote sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right next to him. I just thought, as a lifelong wrestling fan, that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, I always like when they get added into the lexicon of professional sports.
Yeah, like, totally, totally. So, next match we roll into is Xia Li versus Chelsea Green. I've heard this rumor, and the more I see him, man, is the Robert Stone character a ribbit, Tony Khan?
I don't know. I don't really. I'd have to pay better attention.
I've heard it because of the glasses he wears. He doesn't wear oversized suits and clothes like Tony Khan does, but I don't know. I think people may be reading into it, but then when I watch it, I'm like, I guess I can see where they're getting it. Anyway, Aaliyah ends up coming out. You know that there's been some shit between her and Xia Li, so this leads to, she gets involved like two times through the match, with Lisa Green hitting her finish and getting the 1-2-3. It also leads to Aaliyah getting her head kicked off, by Xia Li, which is what actually led to the pinfall in the first place because of the distraction. And then Robert Stone ends up helping Aaliyah up off the ground. So we got maybe a little setup there, kind of, maybe, you know, maybe another addition to the Robert Stone brand in Aaliyah. I have in my notes, Xia Li looks like she could kill people. Like, her kicks look wicked. I don't know. I mean, I know she clearly broke Aaliyah's nose at one point, so I don't know if she's really kicking the shit out of people and that's why they look so dangerous, or if she's just really, really good. But either way, man, I don't think I'd ever want to get kicked by her.
No. Not at all.
So we get a Velveteen Dream promo from his couch, and
is it a velvet couch?
It's a purple velvet couch. Yes, it is.
Sweet.
It's a typical Dream promo. Decent stuff. Next, Mike, we get the debut of Karrion Kross with Scarlett.
Dude, this shit was sweet. This is the only thing I've watched from NXT this week so far. Is I watched this and his match. And holy fuck, man. I'll be honest, dude. This dude, I cannot wait to see this dude go on an amazing 2-year run in NXT and then get called up to the main roster and be cursed to the same mid-card hell that Aleister Black, Ricochet, Angel Garza, the Viking Raiders have found themselves in. I can't wait. I can't wait to see this dude get totally misused in 2 to 3 years.
I don't know, man. They said on commentary, I couldn't get a real gauge of how tall he is.
Can't wait for his name to just be Karrion.
Tom Phillips said that he is 265.
265, 6'7".
He's 6'7". Holy shit.
Is what they said.
No,
I just watched the match last night.
No wonder they've been interested in this dude.
I think he's near 6'7". That's a huge fucking stretch.
I don't know, man, but I'll tell you,
because she doesn't look that short compared to him.
Right, but she also has like 6-inch heels on.
That's true.
So, I really like the entrance. You can tell they're clearly invested in this guy, this duo, however you want to look at it. I felt bad for Leon Ruff because he's been like Jobber 1064 that's just been getting beat on SmackDown and Raw by every fucking big guy, and he just got the shit kicked out of him. Man. Two Doomsday Ciattos or whatever they want to call them, suplexes, and then a finisher he called the Cross Jacket. The announcers were putting him over. Phillips even said, Cross is the damn devil. What did NXT let in their door? I loved it. The ref acted afraid to raise his hand, and they kind of played into that where he then glared at her. Like, I couldn't tell if he was glaring at her, like, raise my hand or don't even touch me. And then, of course, Scarlett comes over and raises hand. Man, this has potential written all over it.
Yeah, this dude has the moves. He's got the look other than that fucking goatee, but they'll fix that.
Yeah.
WWE will fix that.
Yeah, it was a little, it was a little weird for me.
He looks like, that's like the, goatee of a dude that pumps your gas. No disrespect to any gas pumpers out there, man, but that's what y'all's goatees always look like.
I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes. I'll just say that. We get a Riddle and Thatcher promo. They say they are willing to defend the titles against Imperium. And Thatcher says to Riddle, you knock him out and I'll tap him out. So, got some chemistry going there.
So, are now the women's broserweights not a thing?
They are, but, you know, Pete Dunne's in the UK and he can't get out.
Right, that's fair enough.
So, we go to the women's title match. Io Shirai versus Charlotte Flair, NXT Women's title. I just had to stop, sit my phone down for taking notes, and just take it in. Man, it was a really good match with a purposely fucked and ending, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Io attempts a moonsault to the outside to hit Flair. She misses, however, she lands on her feet, but then Flair pulls out a kendo stick and hits her for the DQ, a la the Ronda Rousey DQ. She then attacks Io's knee, attempts a figure four around the ring post, and Rhea Ripley comes out for the save. Remember when on Dershowitz said that she lost her working visa and had to go back to Australia?
Yeah.
Yeah, guess they were wrong. Yes, and then Io is yelling at Rhea Ripley in Japanese, and it's pretty funny because Rhea is now walking back up the ramp after Charlotte, you know, ran off, and Io's yelling at her, and Rhea's just like, shut up, shut up, shut up.
Just came out and stopped her from destroying your knee. Just shut up.
Yeah, yeah. So we come back from a break, and Rhea's outside being asked about her actions. She says she's sick of Charlotte and her bow down crap. And she's, you know, cutting Charlotte down in this promo. Io comes out and gets in her face, and they get things get heated. They get separated. So I'm seeing a potential three-way for this title, and I like every part of that.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. That'd be pretty cool. That'd be a nice way to have Charlotte lose, too. She does not take the pin.
Yeah, absolutely. You
boosted NXT for a little bit, and off you go.
So here we go. We got Cruiserweight tournament, second match of the night, Kushida versus Jake Atlas. I have written down fucking fun match. So the Cruiserweights are really shining. I think that's why I expected more from the first one. But both guys look great in this match and ended by Kushida catching Atlas in midair with an armbar. So that was pretty flippin' cool. We get a post-match interview. Not the greatest promo, but I don't know that Kushida's the greatest English speaker, so I think he did well for someone who's, it's got to be his second language. Next we have Finn Balor coming out, and they didn't reveal who attacked him. But he's basically saying he's not sure who it is. But whoever's doing that kind of thing, looking to get their big push, is going to get squashed by me instead. So, this is a short, to the point, very good Balor promo. Next, we get Cameron Grimes.
Real fast, who do you think it is?
I don't know. I have theories. But we're going to get into that here in a minute. Next, we have Cameron Grimes versus Denzel. Dana Jett, I think is his name. He's been Rollins' like jobber fodder here for the last couple weeks. So it was a super quick match. Grimes won with the cave-in in about 30 seconds. And this was all to set up his promo where he's saying he deserves better than matches like this. And he starts shitting on Balor saying, you know, if it was me that attacked you, you wouldn't be able to be out here doing this promo. So, you know what happens then, right?
Yeah.
So Balor comes out and kicks his ass.
Naturally.
And then Balor continues another promo saying, there's a snake hiding in the back, and when he finds him, he's going to chop off chop the head off the snake. My notes auto-corrected, and it says chop the head off his dick. So there's that.
So chop the head off your dick. Whoa!
Choppy, choppy, ya pee pee.
That's wild. That's just pro wrestling. We don't talk about dick chopping here anymore. This isn't the 90s.
So, right. So, I'm thinking, I don't know. Because, like, right off the bat, like, it's Cameron Grimes, right? Because he already is talking mad shit to Balor. Who wants to talk shit to the prince? And then I'm like, wait, that's clearly too obvious. And you think, well, this could be a holdover until Walter can get into it and get back. But, yeah, that's also a little bit obvious, right?
Yeah.
So the only ones that it leaves for me is... There's three that it leaves for me. We've seen Dexter Lumis getting involved with Velveteen Dream matches. We've seen, you know, Adam Cole and the Undisputed Era kind of have a little bit of, I guess, problem with Balor. And, of course, Velveteen Dream himself. So those are my three picks. It was Dream, it was Dexter Lumis via Dream, or it was Undisputed Era. And I could be completely wrong on all three of those.
Fair. Yeah, those are all valid and all could possibly be wrong. Weird how that works.
But I actually, I think that's great. I think that is a great problem to have because it means you're not really sure and it's not predictable. Main event time, we get Velveteen Dream versus Adam Cole for the NXT Championship, Mike. And man, these guys delivered. Really good match. Towards the end, we have Fish and Strong running out down the ramp. And as they hit the bottom of the ramp, Dexter Lumis creepily slides from under the ring and stops them.
Wow. No kidding.
The three of them scrap. Lumis actually tosses one of them into the ropes where the ref just happens to be sticking his head out to kind of get them to stop doing what they're doing outside. So, of course, the ref takes a bump. Dream jumps out and knocks all of them down and then comes in and hits the Purple Rainmaker for the pin. Of course, the ref is out. And this allows Adam Cole to recover and ends up hitting a super kick in the last shot. And, of course, by this time, the ref is back to his faculties. Counts to three. Cole keeps the title. What's going on with Dexter Lumis and Velveteen Dream? I can't believe they're erasing Kyle O'Reilly from the history of WWE.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's just a dig at all the people that say Roman Reigns being erased from the history of WWE because he's not on TV.
I was like, what's going on with Kyle O'Reilly?
Yeah, and the guy they're also not mentioning on TV because he's not fucking there! So why would they?
Struck a nerve, eh?
It's just silly, man. It's really, really silly.
It really is.
Anyway, Roman Reigns is... His wife just had twins, guys. Twins are usually considered preemies, which means they have a compromised immune system.
My man would
Babies
know.
Babies in general have a compromised immune system. These kids have two strikes against them. The dude's staying home to be safe. Shut the fuck up. There's no reason to mention him on commentary when he's not in current storylines. It's not because Vince hates him. And, besides, all you people hate Roman anyway. This should be your wet dream come true. You're just mad that it's not really true, so you're going to pretend like you're mad about a fake story that isn't true. Move the fuck on.
Okay, well.
Anyway, next week on NXT, we've got the NXT Tag Team Championships on the line. The newly bros, I'm going to call them, versus Imperium, and we have Finn Balor versus Cameron Grimes. So hopefully we get a little more clarity on what's going on with Finn Balor.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I don't know if there's anything else announced that I picked up on. It's highly possible that I missed some of it.
No, I think you got it all. So, you want to talk about some... I don't have any questions this week about NXT. Everything was explained fairly well, and I also don't want any more information because I plan on watching this episode. So you want to talk about some AEW?
Yeah, can I tell you that I actually watched it again?
Yeah, no shit, really?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It was a decent wrestling show.
Yeah.
There was at least one part that I really enjoyed and one part that I really hated, and the rest was just there.
Cool, we'll get there. So, it opens with Cody and Joey Janela, 20-minute time limit. I have in my notes, 20-minute time limit. Let's hope not. And my next note is, I just don't get this whole Joey Janela thing. My next note after that is, fuck, this is going 20 minutes, isn't it? So
essentially, right off the bat, you found the part I hated, right?
Yeah. Cody Cutter, not botched, but he did it differently this time that leaves out the part that he usually botches.
See, I actually thought this was botched too. I thought it looked terrible.
No, man, if you'd have been seeing some of these other ones, you'd been like, that's a pretty good one. That was as a guy who watches this show weekly so that we could talk about it, let me tell you what, that was a pretty good one. Goes 18 minutes. Holy shit. Cody picks up the wins. Not a commercial break at all, which I'm, like, not even gonna lie, was cool as fuck. I thought it was really cool that they, like, went 20 minutes without a commercial. That's fucking sweet. You don't really see that.
Listen, I'm not a, like...
But...
Joey Janela is the most unathletic person I've ever seen attempt to wrestle in a wrestling ring.
Yeah, I'm not going to say most unathletic. He's the most unathletic to try and be athletic. Like, I've seen way more unathletic wrestlers, but I've never seen a wrestler this unathletic that was just like, you know what? I'm going to try and wrestle like a New Japan cruiserweight style.
I was trying right up until the point where they were outside the ring and Janela was between the ring and the ramp. And Cody went to run towards him, and he was going to try to act like he was going to jump up over him, like, with his hands on the ramp in the ring, and he half-ass jumped, and Cody just stopped. And I was like, nope, I'm done with this.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this part just made my mind up. This was garbage.
Dude, Joey Janela just does nothing for me, man.
No, me neither.
Like, just at all. Whatever. So after that, we had a Nyla Rose video package. I want to say, AEW, they're improving weekly with their video packages. They're getting better and better. It didn't make me care any more about Nyla Rose than I already don't. But it was a well-made video package.
Yes, it was a decent package.
It was a well-made package. So that was followed up with a Nyla Rose, Tony Schiavone interview. I think she's still got the same old package, doesn't she?
It doesn't matter. I can't do this. You're not supposed to say that, Mike.
What? It was a very well crafted Nyla Rose package. What? AEW made Nyla a very well put together package. I don't get what the joke is here.
Me neither, man. Me neither.
Nyla and Tony did an interview. That was not bad. Then Nyla versus Kenzie Page. Fun fact for everyone out there, Kenzie Page was trained by Dr. Tom Pritchard and Glenn Jacobs School. She's 18 years old, has been wrestling professionally for 4 years. And before that, because you know how AEW likes to give you too much information about people. Like, you're like, I don't give a fuck. They'll tell you about motherfuckers right. like collegiate athletes and shit. But like, since Jim Ross can't do that because she's 18 and she's been wrestling since she was 14, he was like, prior to that, she was a basketball standout in junior high. And it's like, what the fuck do you know that, man? Come on. Like, we, like,
also,
like,
who gives a shit?
Yeah, right? Also, super fucking creepy. MJF promo video. Oh, by the way, Nyla wrecked this shit.
Yeah, can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
In Nyla's defense? Yeah. Because, of course, I watched this a day after it happens. So I did get some info, and I did see that about this, her opponent. All the info you just told me, and I saw all that, and I thought, when this match started, I thought, oh man, that's a great idea. Let's put Nyla Rose, the worst wrestler on the entire roster, against someone who's 18, and this is her first debut match on any television program anywhere. I'm gonna be honest, man, that was the best Nyla Rose match I've ever seen.
It might have been. Yeah, I don't know. I'm probably one of the only ones I've ever watched all the way through. This may be the only one I've ever... No, I've watched a couple. But yeah, it was one of the better ones. Nyla actually looked like she had spent the time off really just practicing. And
it seems that way.
You could tell there was like a... Just in the way she carried herself in the ring and during the interview. I was really impressed. She like had clearly been working in her time off. We had an MJF promo video. Shit was fucking dope as always. That was followed by the Sean Spears video and the Tony MJF Sean Spears interview that we already did. Frankie Kazarian versus Mox. Notes. Okay, so you remember when X-Pac and Owen Hart would like... have someone running, they'd be running the ropes with someone, and they would do that kick, you know, where they'd like spin in the air, and it's always been a spinning heel kick our whole fucking entire life. Our whole fucking entire life. It's been, this is okay, this is like one of my problems with AEW, and a little bit with Mauro Ranallo, right? And his fucking, Doomsday Saito. Okay. First of all, I wanted to say this when we were talking about it, but I didn't. I just let it go. But now that we're here, motherfucker, just call it a snap suplex. Like, come the fuck on, man. Quit being so goddamn extra all the time. So fucking during this match, Kazarian does two spinning heel kicks as we've known them. Throughout the entire time we've been watching wrestling, fucking Excalibur, who is just as extra as Mauro.
Yeah, I think he's more extra, but go ahead.
Calls him a fucking leg lariat. Twice. A leg lariat? What? What the fuck? When have you ever heard of a leg lariat ever in your fucking life? A lariat is a fucking clothesline. Come the fuck on, man. Like, what? A leg lariat? He did a leg clothesline. Let's say it like that. Let's say leg clothes, because clothesline and lariat are interchangeable terms in the wrestling world. He did a leg clothesline. How stupid does that fucking sound? It sounds dumb as fuck. He did a leg clothesline. Or, he kicked him. Anyway, this is a fairly good match.
I did not enjoy this match.
Really? Really?
It wasn't, it didn't hold my attention, let me put it that way. So, I don't know,
okay,
man.
Okay, like, no, I get that. Really... No, I get that. Because I found myself being bored with it, mm-hmm. but I'm not, like, bored. Here's the thing. I wasn't bored. I just, it didn't catch my attention, right? And,
yeah.
But I was watching it on my phone. So, like, I was forced to, I didn't have something else to start, like, dicking. I was sitting in my car watching it on my phone. So, I didn't have something else to, like, go to, right, to dick off while I was on. So, I was forced to watch it. And in my disinterest, it was technically a very, like, a good match. These guys put on a good match. It just, it was like the Foo Fighters, you know what I mean? It's good music. It just, like, it just does nothing for me.
You can't use Foo Fighters with me for that comparison, but I understand what you're saying.
I'm not saying they're a bad band. I like the Foo Fighters. They just, everything after a certain point that they made just stopped doing anything for me. It was just, they make very, 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 like, competent rock and roll at this point, and it all kind of sounds the same.
I feel,
and this was very competent wrestling that just kind of looked the same as all other competent wrestling.
I feel like right now I'm in a weird place with Moxley and AEW. I don't know if it's his matches. I don't know if, like, to be fair, I was never a huge Dean Ambrose fan, right?
Yeah, that's true. You weren't.
And I feel like when he came to AEW, even though I'm not a huge fan of his, I wanted to even subconsciously get behind the hype, right? And I feel like they really didn't capitalize on that. I feel like they're losing the potential of the hype they had with Scorpio Sky. And I feel like some of these things, if they were done by WWE, the company would be called out about how bad they're dropping the ball. I feel like Omega's getting dropped. I don't know, man, but when it comes to Moxley right now, nothing he's doing is grabbing me, man. Nothing.
As you know, I am a fan of Moxley because I didn't care for the end result Dean Ambrose or the middle result Dean Ambrose or the entire singles run Dean Ambrose, I thought Dean Ambrose in the Shield in their first run was fucking outstanding. And this is the same character as that. So I'm really enjoying the Jon Moxley work. Do I think that he's given, I think he's given a bit too much carte blanche as being like a former WWE top guy. Though, I will say that. Like, there's two, I don't know exactly how to put this. I think they push him too hard compared to everyone else. Because he's a former WWE champion.
I don't think they pushed him hard enough at first, though.
No, not at first. But, like, that's right at first. Like, but the dude's got, like, the best overall record in AEW. And he hasn't really lost hardly any matches. They just were, I think they just needed the Chris Jericho time as champion. You can't push him while Jericho is champion if you wanted him to ultimately. You couldn't give him the super push. I just feel like they just push him too much as, because he's a former WWE top guy. But that's just me. Yeah. Anyway, post-match, the Dark Order attacks the Moxley. SCU comes out for the save. Doesn't do shit though. The Dark Order cleans house on them all. Brody Lee comes out, clotheslines Moxley, does another one of his little, like, weird but enjoyable promos. It's a world title match set between the two. That's going to be at whatever the next pay-per-view is, Double or Nothing. Is that what it is? Is that the one we're waiting on? Double or Nothing?
That's the one we're waiting on.
Double or Nothing. So another WWE guy shows up in the company and is already getting
a title shot.
How about that? How about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
And then, and now we're in the, we're in the booking corner of who wins. If you take it off of Ambrose, then you're stopping any momentum you hope to have with him. If you have him beat Brody Lee, the guy who was, you know, underused and utilized poorly in WWE, well, what the hell are you doing?
I don't
know why you'd open this up that quick.
This is the ongoing problem that I keep talking
Mike,
about.
What the fuck is Kenny Omega doing?
Right. That's what I'm saying, man. Like, okay. Do you ever just watch this show and then sometimes you're like, I don't know if you do necessarily, but I watch this show and a lot of times I'm like, fucking Kenny Omega is on this roster. What the fuck is that? And then, like, it's not even that anymore. It's now I see Kenny Omega and he's not even Kenny Omega to me anymore, right?
Yeah.
I just see, like we'll talk about it here in a fucking little, we'll talk about it in a bit. But, like, he had a match. And it's just like, it's like, okay. 3 years ago, this dude was undeniably the best wrestler on the face of the fucking planet.
Mm-hmm.
Flat out. 2 years ago, this dude was undeniably the best wrestler on the face of the fucking planet. And that's true. We had our little dalliances on here where we'd be like, I don't know, I think Seth Rollins has an argument. No, he didn't. He fucking, like, let's just call a spade on this one. He didn't. We were just being homers. Like, flat out, Kenny Omega was the best fucking wrestler in the world. And now it's like he's just another dude that you have. And I don't get what the fuck you're doing, man. And maybe you're saving it, I guess. But, like, Brody Lee, huh? And I like the dude. I like that dude a lot, man. I think everything he's doing is cool. But the motherfucker just got here. Just got here. This reminds me of, like, the WWE in, like, the 2000, early 2000s, when everyone's WCW contracts came up, and they were fucking like, oh, fuck, we need jobs. And it was like, it seemed like every 3 months, there was some, like, former WCW star showing up in the company and immediately being thrust into a title situation and then shithoused by Triple H.
Yeah.
And it was just like, wow, you're just gonna, like, Scott Steiner shows up. Oh, Scott Steiner, I'm here on a Monday. Got a title shot 4 weeks later on a Sunday. Oh, dead in the water. 2 weeks after the feud, because you fucking pushed him too fast into a title feud with Triple H. So it was just, oh, Goldberg, same. Kevin Nash, oh. It's just, I don't, and that's kind of what it feels like here. But hey, whatever. So after that, we got a Brandi Rhodes video where she's talking directly to Jake Roberts. It's a fine little promo video, which leads into QT Marshall versus Lance Archer. QT got more offense in than I would have guessed, but, you know.
Too much.
Yeah, too much. Too much offense. Too much offense.
But whatever.
Hey, whatever.
I'm not going to cry about that.
Yeah, not at all. Post-match, Britt Baker, just out of nowhere, hits Brandi with a DDT because she's fucking awesome. And
well, it's because Brandi took her shoe and threw it.
Yeah, I know. It's just kind of, no, I mean, like, not out of nowhere. It came out of nowhere, like.
Okay.
Like, yeah. I was just like, holy shit, was this, like, when it happened, it just, like, it was so unexpected. And, then Jake, puts the snake on Brandi. We haven't seen that in quite a while. It was creepy Jake Roberts shit, man. I'm not gonna lie. It was good creepy Jake Roberts shit. I'll be honest, I was like, for a moment, I was like, I can't believe they're letting this fucking fly. Like, it was...
I thought he was trying to have sex with her.
It looked rapey, man. It looked rapey. So then we had Taz and Darby interview. Fucking dismissive wanking off gesture. Jericho and Sammy Guevara versus Kenny Omega and Broken Matt Hardy in a no holds barred falls count anywhere tag team match. Conrad Thompson got a shout out in this match, so that was cool. I enjoy that as a guy that listens to most of his podcast. This was not my cup of tea, but there were some spots in it that I liked. I thought Kenny Omega's moonsault off the scissor lift was fucking dope. I thought Sammy Guevara getting hit with the golf cart was pretty fucking sweet, man. He sold the fuck out of that. I liked Matt Hardy's changing of characters throughout. I'm sure you did not care for that. But I enjoyed that.
Hold on. I didn't hate it. I just didn't... Like, has he done that before, or is that a new thing?
That's the first I could recall it ever being done.
I didn't hate it. I just don't... Like... That's something I don't think you're going to be able to keep up. You know what I mean?
I totally know what you mean. It's not something you're going to be able to do over and over again. It worked for this match. Hella worked for this match.
Right. And this match, actually, the first half of it, I didn't really get into. But once they went to the back, dude, I loved it.
I kind of agree with you on that. The match for me, it didn't really take off until they went to the back. And once they went to the back, I don't know, the whole thing kind of just changed. It just, just became a different show, or a different match, I should say. Not show, but a different 100%. Match. And I thought that was... again, there were some moments where it got a little... drawn out for me when they were in the back, where it was just like, let's get on with it a little bit. But I thought overall it was, you know, again, not my cup of tea, but still pretty good match. The Sex Gods win after the entire Inner Circle comes out and has their way with these two guys. So overall, not terrible episode, not their best episode, but I thought it was an above average episode.
Yeah, I overall I enjoyed this episode of Dynamite. Not my favorite episode, but had things to keep me interested, even though some of the things I think should have didn't.
Fair enough. Yeah, I don't have anything more on it.
All right, well, I guess... what it was. Like I said, I think these two companies are probably doing the best when it comes to the empty arena, and that being NXT and AEW. But man, I think... I'm looking forward to when things are normal again, and I don't know if it'll ever be normal, but I'm at least looking forward to that first... show that has enough of a crowd that it can feel special, I guess. And that day will come eventually, and I think it's going to make everything that much better.
All right. Yeah, let's pray for that. Hopefully it happens soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else you want to say to these fine, fine people?
All right. Slayer, Slipknot, Metallica. You gotta kill one, you gotta fuck one, you gotta marry one.
Oh, this is super easy for me. Alright. I'm killing Slayer.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I like Slayer and all, but in the scheme of things, they're the least of the three. I'm fucking Metallica. And I'm marrying Slipknot.
Right. I'm marrying Slipknot, I'm fucking Slayer, and I'm killing Metallica.
Okay. I don't think there's a wrong answer.
No, right? I don't think there was really either.
Yeah. I like this one. That was a good one.
Yeah, that was an easy one.
Guys, I say it every week. It's been real. It's been fun. We will catch you next time.
You guys are beautiful. We love you. Have a great fucking week.
New episodes of Drive-By drop every Saturday on iTunes, Spotify, and the iHeartRadio app. Subscribe and make sure you never miss a single one. And keep the conversation going on Facebook at Drive-By Pod. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. This has been a presentation of the Near Fall Network.